Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to talk a bit about the gospel today, John 20. Let us pray as we consider the word of God. Lord, you teach us, blessed are they that hear your word, that keep your word, that believe your word. Lord, as we hear again today, this second Sunday of Easter, bless our hearing. Give us faith and peace and joy in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. Well, are you a bit jealous today? A bit disappointed? On the second Sunday of Easter, in our sinful nature, we could always be a bit disappointed, a bit jealous after hearing the gospel lesson, and for that matter, the epistle. Because the disciples on that Easter evening, then Thomas a week later, they get to see so much. Aren't you a bit jealous of them? Disappointed that you can't be an eyewitness like they were? I mean, what a fabulous story. They're all scared, hiding, then Thomas a week later. And the risen Lord comes right among them. They get to see so much. They see him with their own eyes. They're eyewitnesses. They get to see the scars. They get to touch him. He talks to them, they talk back, he breathes on them, the Holy Spirit. And then there's Thomas the week later. Why is he so special that Jesus come just for him? They get to see so much. The resurrected one. And then John in the Revelation text, he sees the ascended glorious Lord with the long white beard and the fiery eyes and a powerful mouth. I mean, wow! Always kind of leaves me a bit jealous. Why couldn't I be an eyewitness like they were? When we come to church, what do we see with these eyes? Well, we see a beautiful church, and it is a beautiful church, but then again, it's just the same windows. They are beautiful, but you see pretty windows, good. See the same hymnal. See a lot of the same people. Church family, we like to see each other, but generally the same people. We welcome visitors that come to and new people we have. You see the same pews, a lot of the same ushers, same old pastor. You guys are here a lot too. And our acolytes do a lot of acolyting. Same old folks. If only I could be an eyewitness and see like Peter, James, and John and Matthew saw, and then Thomas saw, and the other disciples saw. I can actually see him and see the scars and behold them. Maybe the Lord knows that we would be a bit disappointed. And so he gives a very special blessing, a beatitude for those that don't see, that I want to talk about a little bit today. Where after Thomas confesses, my Lord and my God, finally Thomas. I mean, Thomas's confession is kind of like a bookend to the beginning of John. In John 1, we read where Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And now at the end of John 20, you have a man, Thomas, saying, my Lord and my God. Yes, he's my Lord and my God. Well, I could be like Thomas. Right after that, the Lord says, have you believed because you've seen me, Thomas? Then the blessing for us, First Lutheran, 2,000 years later. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The Lord's mind in John 20, as he's there with Thomas and the disciples, he's not just thinking of them. He's thinking of the church of the future. He's thinking of us today. That's our loving Lord. And so he says, oh, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. He's thinking of First Lutheran, us today, that long to be an eyewitness too. Easter encouragement in these words, this beatitude. Three things I think the Lord wants us to ponder in that beatitude, that blessing, that encouragement. First of all, he'd have us look back. Look back at the example of all the saints before us that didn't get to see either. Notice how the beatitude's in the past tense. He says, blessed are those who have not seen the past and yet have believed. It's not in the future tense. That interests me. He doesn't say, blessed are those who will not see and yet will believe. That's us. But blessed are those who have not seen in the past and yet believe. He wants us to consider all the saints of the Old Testament in these words. One thing he wants us to do. Look at the example of all the saints of the Old Testament that didn't see and yet they believed. And certainly you can believe too. God's Word's powerful. The Spirit's powerful. If they believed in the Old Testament and they didn't see, how much more you should believe, because you have the gospel in front of you. You have the Word and sacrament. So think about all those that didn't see and yet believed. Adam and Eve. And Noah. What did Noah see? Noah saw a lot of evil and a lot of animals in the ark, but not a whole lot of people. He saw a flood, yet he believed. And then you move on to Abraham. What did he see? He just traveled around all over the place in Sarah. They didn't see, and yet they believed. And they're 100 years old, and they had a baby. And then you have Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Rachel and Leah. They didn't see, and yet they believed. And Joseph, what did he see? He saw the prison walls there in Egypt for a while. He didn't see a whole lot. He saw his brothers throw him in a pit. He saw suffering and evil, yet he believed. And then Moses, yes, Moses saw the 10 plagues, the miracles of God. Yet Moses didn't see the risen Lord, yet he believed. And on, the people of Israel out in the desert, many of them did not believe. They lost their faith, apparently, yet some believed. And then Joshua and Rahab and the period of the judges. You have Deborah and Ruth and then Esther, of course, later. Great women who didn't see and yet they believed. You had kings like David and Solomon. And then all the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. They didn't see. They saw suffering and famine and evil and idolatry. Yet they believed the promise of God. And if they believed, shouldn't you believe? When we live 2,000 years later. And we have more than they had. They had the Old Testament scriptures. We have the four gospels and all the epistles in the book of Revelation. We have the account of the eyewitnesses, which they didn't have in the Old Testament. How much more we should believe? And we might even add in some of the great believers in Jesus' day who didn't see him in the resurrection too. The shepherds. They saw the baby Jesus, but I don't think they saw the resurrected Jesus, and yet they believed. The wise men came from afar. They saw the star and they saw the little Jesus, yet they didn't see him in the resurrection, so we don't think so, yet they believed. The Samaritan woman believed. She probably didn't see him in the resurrection. The centurion who confessed at the cross, surely this man was the Son of God. He believed, and I don't really think he saw Jesus in the resurrection either, though he may have. And the thief on the cross, he believed, and all he saw was a dying Savior. He didn't see the resurrection, we don't think. Folks, we got a whole bunch of people, the great majority of Christians, that don't see with these eyes, and yet they believe. Shouldn't you believe too? Join the train. God's promises are powerful. They give faith and they keep us in the faith, even though we don't see with these eyes like we want to. In the springtime, I always think of baseball. It actually is my favorite sport. I like them all, but baseball is kind of my top one. I was the best at baseball. And I remember playing high school baseball, and I was a good pitcher, but not a very good hitter. I batted maybe seventh or eighth in our lineup, which means there were six or seven hitters in front of me. So I was a smart player, though. When the opposing pitcher went out to pitch, I watched to see how fast he threw. Did he have a curveball? What was he like? And if our first six or seven hitters didn't get a hit, they all struck out, guess what I figured I would do? I'll probably strike out. This guy's pretty good. But if they all got hits, they were pounding the ball over, line drives, home runs, I had confidence. If they hit him, I can hit him too. There's momentum. We know that. Momentum. And there's spiritual momentum, if you will. If they all believed in the past, how can I not believe? I'll join the train and fight the good fight of faith until I see. We look back in these words. We look in the here and now. We look in the present, secondly. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And I'm led to ask, well, Lord, where's the blessing? You say I'm blessed when I don't see and yet I believe. Well, what blessing do I really have? Where's the blessings, Lord? Just because you say I'm blessed, I guess I take you at your word. But where are they? What blessings do we have, even though we don't see with these eyes? We don't see the visible Jesus. We know he is here. By the way, he is here. Oh, he's really here. He liked that one. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. He's with the church. The disciples, Thomas with us. He's always with his people, even though they're scared and guilt-ridden and hiding behind doors. He comes. What blessings do we have? We have the invisible Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. I think that's a pretty good gift. God's given us the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God that we hear, the gospel. We have absolution that we hear over and over. And we have the Holy Supper of the Lord's body and blood. Well, yes, we are blessed, even though we don't see yet, we believe, because we are blessed with the Holy Spirit, Word, sacrament, that flow in the church and flow in the church Wednesday, Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday. We have these great gifts of God to keep us in the faith. How blessed we are. I said before, if the Lord was still making local appearances, appearing visibly to people, then, you know, he would be a celebrity. Well, he's in China today. He's in Australia today. There's the Lord. He's in South America today, and he'd show up at First Lutheran once every 15 years. And we wouldn't have him here. But because he ascended and has given us the Spirit and the gospel and the sacraments, he is with us always. We have him here as we gather around his name and his gospel and his body and blood and the waters of baptism. We know he's here, so how blessed we are. How can we not keep the faith? Don't ever go home and say, well, I didn't get anything from church. You heard the gospel, and you ate and drank the body and blood, and you got nothing from church? What a fool you are. May God have mercy on you. You know, Doug Rodenbeck, one of our newer members, he called me this week. Doug's here today. And I like Doug because he likes to eat like I like to eat. Right, Doug? Yes. And he's from Indiana like I'm from Indiana. A lot in common. And Doug told me there is a restaurant here in Knoxville that actually serves what is called a Lutheran burger. Who's heard of the Lutheran burger? I heard this for the first time. It's called the Lutheran burger here in Knoxville, some restaurant out west. Doug researched this, and we thank and praise God for you, Doug, that researched this. Who wants to go get a Lutheran burger today? And you know what the Lutheran burger is? It's a bacon cheese burger on a Krispy Kreme donut. Now that's a Lutheran burger! A bacon cheeseburger on a Krispy Kreme donut. That's what Doug told me, okay? I guess they know Lutherans like to eat well. And yeah, may Lutherans eat well. May we eat well. And may we eat the perfect food of our risen Lord, his body and blood. Yes, we eat well and eat well and eat well. We are blessed. And may we wash well in the waters of absolution, the renewing of baptism. May we wash. We've washed well today. Our sins are washed away by his blood. We're forgiven and free. Yes, we wash well, we Lutherans. And may we hear well. May we hear the gospel and hear of Jesus and take it into our minds and hearts and consider it and ponder it and chew on it again and be blessed. Yes, we Lutherans eat well because we have the Word, the sacraments. We are blessed even though we don't see with these eyes. Yet we are blessed because the Spirit's given us faith and keeps us in the true faith. Go home knowing you're a blessed person. And then last of all, the Lord would have us look in the future. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Implied in that is you will see. You don't see now, First Lutheran, but you will see. And so we look to the future on the final day when we will see him come with the clouds, as John tells us in Revelation. Wow. And he comes like a flash of lightning with all his angels in glory. We will see him face to face, and we'll never have to take our eyes off of him. We'll see him forever. Now for our 70, 80, 10, 20, whatever years that God gives us, now we are not an eyewitness. We don't see with these eyes, but we will see him forever. Blessed are we that will see forever, never to take our eyes off of him. And I thought about this. This may sound a little odd, but I'll say it. The joy that we will have when we get to heaven and see Jesus. The joy that we will have when we behold Jesus, I have a hunch will be a little bit greater than the joy the disciples had when they saw Jesus. Now, they had great joy when they got to heaven. When Thomas got to heaven and Peter, James, and John, they had great joy. And they're still in joy. Don't not think that. But they had already seen him. They saw him for 3 years. They walked with him. They saw him in John 20. They saw the scars. And John, he is so blessed. He has this vision, revelation of this glorious Lord. And Peter, James, and John saw him in the transfiguration. They already saw the glory of Jesus, a snapshot, but they saw it. And so when they got to heaven, it's good to be with you again, Jesus. But they already had seen him. But oh, the joy that is ours that have never seen him. The thrill that will be ours that have never seen him. To behold him face to face. How many of you like to, at Christmas time, see your presents early? Peek in the paper. Now, yeah, put a sound down, Greg. Very good. You may like to do that. There's a thrill to that. This is what I'm getting. Wow, I'll put it back. This is what, oh, wow. But when you get to Christmas, you're not as thrilled because you've seen it. You're still thrilled if it's a good gift, but maybe not as much. You've seen it. There's that greater thrill when you finally open up the paper. Wow! Thank you! Never thought you'd give me that. And that is the overwhelming eternal thrill of us who have not seen and yet have believed. And we join the apostles and the angels and archangels in rejoicing and praising God forever. And that awaits you and I. So keep the faith, First Lutheran. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Yes, we see pain and misery and war all around us. But in Christ, there is peace and there is victory and there is forgiveness and salvation, word, sacrament. Keep the faith. Yeah, I'm a little jealous, a little disappointed. It'd be great to be an eyewitness with Thomas and the disciples. The Lord gives us encouragement. Look back. Consider the example of all the saints who were just like you. They believe without seeing. You can do it too. Look at today. You have the Spirit, Word, Sacrament. You get preached, taught, you given to you. Rejoice in that. And look to the future when you will see him face to face in all his glory. For blessed are those. Blessed is First Lutheran who does not see and yet believes. Amen.